Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this blessed Palm Sunday morning as we celebrate the beginning of Holy Week. Hosanna in the highest and peace on earth to all. A few announcements before we get started. Please remember, we are in the midst of Holy Week. Our Holy Week readings will begin tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We will have those Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll have Monday, Thursday worship in the sanctuary at 7, as well as Good Friday at 7 p.m. The Holy Week readings, as of this point, will not be streamed. We will have Easter sunrise at the Village. It's a little later this year because of how late the sunrise, so you can sleep in a bit. It will be at 7:30. So we will have an opportunity to do that, and then we have a combined Sunday school at 9:15 in the church. There will not be a traditional Easter sunrise breakfast like we've had in years past. Our Easter egg hunt will be Saturday, April 16th at 10 a.m. for any of our kids through fifth grade. If you're interested in being there for that, please let me or any CCC members know by the day. Any of our kids in our community are invited. Just let us know. We want to make sure we have plenty of eggs for all our kids, but it is a great opportunity to start the Easter season off right. There is still time to sign up to be a Holy Week reader. We have a big sign-up list in the narthex. Anyone who's willing to help with that is greatly appreciated. We love to hear many different voices with that. So whether you're an experienced Holy Week reader or it's something you're interested in doing for the first time, it is greatly appreciated. Who's ever willing to help with that. Food on the Fly will be on Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. Meals are $10. A great thing to do during Holy Week is maybe grab a meal right before in the parking lot. Get your meal through the stone parking lot. Come to the other parking lot, eat your meal, and then come right back for Holy Week readings, and you'll have a great opportunity to be a part of that, support that ministry, and then be here for Holy Week readings that night. Don't forget, we are less than a month away from our 250th anniversary of Schönbrunn Village, Tuesday, May 3rd. We have a list of activities, of events outside in the narthex. I encourage you to check out some of that. If you can take a full day off from work, even if you can take a half day, either to be there for the ceremony in the morning or some of the history events in the afternoon. We're going to have dignitaries from the Delaware Nation. We're going to have some professors from the Moravian Church, from the Moravian Historical Society, the Moravian Archives, our PEC president, our Eastern District president. It is a great chance to meet a lot of different people and hear the story of how Moravians came to this community and how that legacy continues to live on throughout that. But also there is a picture of the display in the narthex. If you haven't had a chance to see that, it is a really cool combination of the Delaware history, the Ohio settler history, and the German history of the Moravians. It says welcome in those three different languages, the Delaware Nation, the German language, and the English language. And it truly celebrates the diversity of history formed here. Sunday, May 1st in worship, we will have the president of the Board of World Mission, Justin Robach, here, who will be helping us in worship and preaching that Sunday. And after worship, from 1 to 3 p.m., they'll be giving a presentation on the works of what exactly the Board of World Mission does. We hear that name quite a bit throughout our sanctuaries and throughout the Moravian Church, but Justin and Bishop Chris Easler will be giving a presentation to Moravians across the county. There will be light refreshments available as well. The Women's Board will not be meeting at Bob Evans on Monday night due to Holy Week. That will be rescheduled. And then our new members class will be starting on the 24th, the 1st, and the 8th. Those will be from 9:15, two church hours in the fellowship hall with me leading that. It does not just have to be new people in the Moravian Church. If you're interested in kind of rekindling some of your education about what it means to be Moravian and about our history, I encourage you to join that class too. One of the big foundations of our church is education, and we want to keep building on that and remind ourselves that we are never too old or too involved in a church to remember our roots and to grow in those roots. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship, or the right palm of fellowship if you prefer today. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for this week comes from Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Amen. At this time, we rise and sing together, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Please rise. And just a note, when we get to the Hosanna, our first side will be Missy and Steve's side. Our second side will be Becky's side. If you're new and a guest with us and we get to the Hosanna and you look a little confused, that's okay. It can take a little bit to figure out one of our Moravian traditions, but just take some time to soak it in and be a part of this special day. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, all the earth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Rejoice greatly, shout for joy. See your King is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation.
Set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, a descendant of your servant David.
You promised through your holy prophets long ago that you would save us from our enemies, from the power of all who hate us.
You have shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and have remembered your holy covenant.
With a solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, you promised to rescue us from enemies and allow us to serve you without fear.
So that we might be holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
By your tender mercy, you caused the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us.
To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The voice of the messenger echoes from the desert, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord and to make a straight path on which he may come. Let us confess our sins so that our crooked ways will be made straight and the rough ways smooth. You may be seated. Our sovereign Redeemer, we join the people of Jerusalem offering our own shouts of praise and celebration at your coming. Although we welcome you today with the multitude on Palm Sunday, we confess we have also stood with the condemning crowd on Good Friday. Our thoughts, words, and deeds have cried crucified. We turn to you for help and forgiveness, gracious Savior, not because we deserve it, but because you are forgiving. Save us from our sinful ways and restore us to a life of loyalty to you. Amen.
Through John the Baptizer, we hear the Lord's promise. Turn away from your sins, and God will forgive your sins.
Come to you through the merit of Jesus Christ, strengthened by the Holy Spirit.
Help us and all your children to respond to the call of your gospel with faith, love, and hope.
God of faith, you created humanity to serve and praise you, and even when we rebelled against you, you promised to send a Savior to redeem us from our sins.
Strengthen our faith in your saving work through Christ, as you chose the people of Israel to hear the promise of redemption through the prophet. May people today believe in your goodwill for all that you have made.
God of love, you fulfilled your promise of a Redeemer in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Grant us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may share your love with the sick and the afflicted, with the poor and the homeless, with the victims of injustice and discrimination, and with all who are experiencing times of trouble.
God of hope, you comfort us through the Savior's promise to return in glory at the end of time.
As we await the coming of the Prince of Peace, let us not despair. We long for you to inspire all the nations and peoples of the world to turn to cooperation and nurture, rather than to hatred and destruction.
God of faith, love, and hope, to you and to you alone we pray.
For you are our God, the only God, forever and ever. Amen.
This time I invite you to stand as we join together in the Hosanna, remembering once again Steve and Missy's side will be first, and then Becky's side will be second.
kept the promise you made to our ancestors and have come to the help of your servant people.
You remember to show mercy to Abraham and Sarah and to all their descendants forever.
We praise you, Lord. You are enthroned in glory, yet you came and continue to come for all who will receive you. We praise you, for you are good and your mercy endures forever.
To you be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Church, this is a little bit different than a typical Sunday service that we do. Normally we would read an Old Testament or a psalm and a gospel lesson. But in the beginning of Holy Week, one of the things we like to do that's special about our tradition is we like to hear the entire gospel story of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason for that is we want to know what all the things that Jesus brings with him to the cross, why he is willing to lay down his life for each and every one of us, who he's standing up with, and why he's standing up. And so what we do is we listen to these stories, these gospel accounts. And now traditionally we would usually do this on Sunday night, but the elders and leaders of this church feel it's important that everybody gets to experience a taste of this. So this is the beginning. You will hear the Acts of Saturday and Sunday. You can join us for our Holy Week readings throughout the week. Remember, those are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, and then Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday as well. And then just for your note, those of you who are following along with your books, we are omitting any hymns that we've already sang in the liturgy or... There we go. Paul has already got me beat. I should read what's in the sign in front of me. I don't have an excuse now. You've got the TV right there for me. But we are omitting the hymns that we are already singing. I say that out loud for me as well. So we are excited to join together and pray together on the Holy Week readings.
The Acts of Saturday. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him in the house of Simon the leper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And the other disciples scolded Mary. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, What she has done will be told in remembrance of me. Of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. The Acts of Sunday. The next day, as Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. The great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." City, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Thank you. came to him, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will also my servant be. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." This hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. So that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. went out to Bethany with the 12.
Join us on Monday night as we continue our journey with Jesus to the cross and ultimately his resurrection glory on Easter Sunday. Now we come to God in prayer, uplifting our joys, our concerns, our worries, and our anxieties to the Lord. On this week, we continue to offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to families. I'm thinking especially of the family of Kelly Lover, neighbors of Russ and Tiff Swaldo. Kelly put a three-year fight against brain cancer, fought courageously. We think of her husband, James, and their two kids as well. We also have been asked to uplift in prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Dwayne Haskins, the former Ohio State quarterback who was killed, tragically hit by a car yesterday. What I was touched most in seeing memories of him was that he was somebody who wanted to be remembered for being something much more than just being a football player. And I think it reminds each of us to continue to live our lives with grace and mercy, not just in our vocation, but in our entire lives. We also continue to uplift in prayer Ukraine and all of their refugees, all their people dealing with hardships across the world, and may we continue to be a world that stands with them and for them, and continues to serve them any way we can. In our prayers of healing hope this week, we continue to offer prayers for Dominic Wright, Corey Gorby, Janice McGlinktock, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Joanne Giandru, Michelle Stevens, Michael, Brenda Greenwood, Gail Slater, Clara Gorby, Ryan Castor, Paige Martin, Linda Bennington, Bobby Joe Perez. We continue to give thanks that our numbers in COVID remain lighter than they have these past few months. And we pray for all those who continue to face that battle. And we also uplift in prayer Melanie Hahn. In prayers of celebration and joy this week, we offer prayer wedding celebrations to Tracy and Mike Hooper. Tracy would be Vicky Eichel's daughter, so we celebrate with Tracy and Mike on their wonderful wedding yesterday. And then Jim and Jill Schaefer, we know they're watching us on our live stream. They will be celebrating 55 years of marriage on Tuesday. So we rejoice with them. And then Paige Martin, who represented her class well in her robotics competition this past weekend. And we think of Allie Baker, who will be taking her boards this week as well. We have a lot to celebrate and uplift to God as well. And we give thanks for the opportunity to worship with friends and guests today as well. Let us come to God in prayer. Gracious God, today is Palm Sunday, where we wave our branches in the air, signifying the beginning of this blessed Holy Week. We realize this week can be a lot. It can be intense, it can be emotional, it can be exhausting, and it can be draining. But help us to just slow down a little bit and focus our attention on you and all the wonderful things you do for us. And as we think of you, we uplift many in prayer this week. Many who are grieving, many who are facing hardships, many who are facing sicknesses, many who are walking through churches for the first time, many who just have so many questions on their hearts that remain unanswered. Gracious God, walk with them in all these journeys. Help them to remember that you are a God of presence. You show up for us. You do not live on a cloud, but you live upon our hearts. And you prove that on the cross, and we celebrate that this Holy Week. And as we come together as a congregation, help us to remember the wonderful things you do in our world. Help us to continue to be your hands and feet to people in Ukraine and in our neighborhood as well. Help us to continue to serve, to live, and to remember that every single day we celebrate Hosanna in the highest, and blessed are all who come in the name of the Lord. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering. And we do not have an offering plate that we're passing up and down the aisles, but we do have one in the back if you want to give in person. We still give thanks to all of you who continue to give online and continue to look for ways that you can serve our local community and look for ways that we can continue to extend our outreach beyond our church walls. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory prayer. Blessed Savior, let us shout praises honoring the King of Kings. May we prepare the way of the Lord, acts of mercy and love for our neighbors. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I invite our children. You can actually come forward this time. You can come on up here and bring your palm branches with you, so don't forget these. You're welcome to come up, anyone who wants to, yeah, for sure. How's it going, everyone? Good, yeah? Everybody having a good week? Who has spring break this week? Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, teachers too. Does anybody have any fun plans yet? Mom and Dad are still plotting for you? All right. So what we're going to talk about today is, why were you given these things when you walked into church today? Can anybody tell me why? Brandon? It's a celebration? Yeah, what else is it, Riley? Palm tree, yeah. Because they use these to celebrate Jesus. Now, what's interesting, I don't deal with palm branches on a lot of other days than this Sunday, so I took a little refresher course this morning on what palm trees are like. And so we're going to play a little game of true or false. And so and you can play with us in the pews. If you think something is true, I want you to wave your branch way in the air, maybe give it a little shake. If you think it's false, keep it way down here. So if it's true, way up here, false, way down here. All right. So here's your first question. We'll give you a little bit of a softball one. Palm trees or palm branches are an important religious symbol. What do you think? There we go. Yeah, of course it is. You're in church. You're waving a palm branch. Absolutely. They are a very important symbol to starting us on Holy Week. Here's a little bit of a tougher one. There are 12 species of palm trees. True or false? 12 species of palm trees. True or false? That is false, actually. Good guess. There are 2,500 species of palm trees. 2,500. Yeah, we're a little further off on that one. See, I used 12 because it was a biblical number. Thought it would trip you up there. Good work, Pastor Ben, right there. Not all palm trees are trees.
True or false? Not all palm trees are trees. That is correct. Yes, they can be shrubs. They can be a lot of other things. Not necessarily being a palm branch makes it a palm tree, which was very interesting to me. Here's another one. Palm trees can only grow up to 50 feet. Palm trees can only grow up to 50 feet. So if you stack me 8 times, that's how high a palm tree could get. True or false? That is actually false. They can get up to, anybody want to guess? 150. What'd you say? 150. That's close. Riley?
I was going to say 80
plus. A little higher. Tyler?
170.
That's very close. Brandon? That's very close too. 195 feet palm trees can get. So if you see them in LA and they're bearing over you, that's how big some of the palm trees can get. And then your last one, a variation of palm trees. Coco de Mar has the largest seeds. It's 20 inches in diameter and can weigh up to 60 pounds. Is that true or false? Yeah, I was way too specific with how big that seed could be, wasn't I? Absolutely, yeah. So palm trees can come from the tiniest seeds, and they can come from the biggest seeds. So there's a lot we don't know about palm trees. But the biggest thing for us today that we celebrate in church is they celebrate the presence and start of Jesus. So what we're going to do, you guys are the first and biggest starters of the parade. Because if you have a parade, who do you throw a parade for, right? Kids, right? So you guys can get candy, so you can celebrate, so you can have these wonderful things. So we're going to start this parade off with you, and we're actually going to build, we moved our table back, you can come up with me here. We're going to build a cross on a palm tree. So I need, let's see, how many people do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I need 4 people to put their palm trees vertical. So I need 2 more people to add to that. Wonderful. And then I need the other 3, you can go across, yep. And make it a little bit taller. There we go, perfect. You're gonna be the perfect addition to that right there. Yep, that's just right. So what we're gonna have, you see, we have a good start to our cross. What I'm gonna ask when we finish up worship today for our adults to add to this, because our palm branches remind us of the journey that Jesus is taking to the cross. So may each and every one of us remember why this parade starts and where it finishes. Will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and remind them that they are loved and cared for by a Savior who will do anything for them. And that this spring break week, please bless them with some fun time with their family and friends, but also some time to remember the love that Jesus gives each and every one of us. So help us to share that love with our friends, our family, our neighbors, and all we encounter. In your name we pray. Amen. Wonderful job. You can go back to your seats. Thank you very much. If you want to take your branch back with you too, you can. Well, we can rebuild it too. I'll need my adults to come back later and start finishing off that cross for me. So it feels a little weird that we are finally here. We are finally at Palm Sunday. I think this is the first Palm Sunday in 5 years in Ohio where I've had to have long sleeves and sweatpants throughout the week. But we are here. Mother Nature may not think we're almost to Easter, but we are getting there. And Palm Sunday is such a majestic and beautiful high holy day in the life of the church. The whole multitude of disciples that followed Jesus that day shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I myself, I find myself wondering on this Palm Sunday how much Jesus could have enjoyed the cheers and the parade of the day, since he was burdened with the foreknowledge of what lies ahead, what waits for him. And I want you to think about that, because imagine if you were told the most painful and difficult day of your life lies ahead, and there's nothing on earth you can do to prevent it. How would the dire stress of the future impact your ability to enjoy that present moment. And I thought about that, I meditated and prayed on that thought question a lot this week. Because I think Jesus experienced something on that Palm Sunday similar to a general in the military who receives an order that they will be heading off to a very difficult battle where they are sure to lose some people in their battalion. And I actually thought of one specific example. I thought of Civil War Commander Robert Goldshaw. Some of you may have heard that name before. But Robert Goldshaw led the 54th Regiment of Massachusetts during the Civil War. This was the first African-American battalion that formed after the Emancipation Proclamation. And his troops were asked to lead the second attempted takeover of Fort Wagner in July of 1863. And they had the burden of seeing what happened in the first attempt to the first group that tried to unsuccessfully charge and take over Fort Wagner. And they saw that that group was sitting ducks on the beach, and they were guaranteed to face difficult and mass casualties. Yet when his battalion was asked to perform this noble mission, Shaw and his troops did not back down from what they were called to do. They served their country bravely and courageously, sacrificing 40% of their combat troops and a third of their officers that laid down their life that special day on the principle that all men and all people are created equally. And Shaw himself, the great general, died on the battlefield that day. And Confederate soldiers, much like the Roman soldiers Jesus encountered, attempted to humiliate him in life and death. They threw him in a mass grave with his African-American soldiers, thinking it would be an embarrassment and a pox upon him. But much like Jesus, Shaw's final act of shame became a tremendous source of honor. It was Shaw's father who said about his fallen son, "We can imagine no holier place than which he lies among his brave and devoted followers, nor wish for him better company. What bodyguards he has." Think about a father saying that in 1864 and just the power of that statement. And over 100 years later, many of you may know this, the movie Glory would depict the heroic courage of the 54th Regiment of Massachusetts. And if you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to check it out sometime. And Jesus, in our story too, he also is on a dangerous and difficult path. But unlike a soldier, Jesus has no comrades or friends to share this experience with him. He's going to the front line by himself. And he has to take the path to the cross for himself and for the fate of humanity all by himself. And furthermore, there isn't a 30% chance that Jesus faces danger. There's not a 40 or 60% chance that Jesus faces danger. There is a 100% certainty that Jesus faces danger on this path that has been laid out before him. And I think we far too often fail to connect the dots between Palm Sunday and Easter. We often see them as separate events and separate emotions. Yet I'm not so sure Jesus did. He entered that city much like a conquering soldier. Yet there is something very different about that experience for Jesus. Because Jesus is going to be the first person in the history of the world to win a war by laying down his life and letting the other people win. It is his innocent and precious blood that will lead to victory. Victory over the cross, victory over the grave, victory over sin. In fact, Jesus is going to change how history gets written from this point on. It'll all be seen through the lens of this great miracle. And his greatest tool is not a weapon of war. It will be his sacrificial love, the love that he lays down for each and every one of us. So therefore, let us shout today Hosanna in the highest. And remember that Jesus is on a path that has been laid out before him, and Jesus remains on that path with incredible intentions and incredible focus. And when I see Jesus making this triumphant entry into the city, I often picture Tom Petty's song, I Won't Back Down, playing in the background as Jesus enters the city. I wish we had copyright to that song so we could sing it to our closing hymn, but we don't. But I picture that sense and spirit of, I'm not backing down from this moment. I'm coming to the city. I'm coming for you. So Jesus knows the magnitude of the moment. And the fate of the world rests in how he will navigate the most important week of his life, the most important week of human history. And he knows he will be asked to make the greatest sacrifice that any of us can make. John 15:13 said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus could run. Jesus could head in the opposite direction. Jesus could go anywhere in the world that he wants to with a snap of his fingers. But he won't. He loves us too much. So this is a week to remember. Jesus won't back down. For us, for our world, for the people we love, for the people who have gone before us, Jesus will defeat sin and death in one swift moment and miraculous act of courageous love and sacrifice. And today, on this Palm Sunday, we honor the first steps of that journey. And like Jesus, we choose to journey with him. Because like him, we aren't backing down either. We are joining with him. We are collaborating with him on this journey to the cross. And each one of us, I encourage you, after our benediction today, to lay down your palm trees and we'll finish out our cross as we remember that this is the first step. This is not the culmination. But today we shout Hosanna in the highest. And we carry that love, that devotion, and that sense of service with us this blessed and wonderful Holy Week. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to walk with you this week, stride by stride, step for step, realizing that you took this sacrifice on for each and every one of us. You're the one that is not backing down. You are standing up for sacrificial love. You are standing up for the defeat of victory. You are standing up for the people that have gone before us. And all we can say today is thank you. So today, we lay down our branches in honor of you and all the gifts that you give us. And may we remember that these palm branches today make us and lead us to the cross of our salvation. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing Ride On in Majesty.
Oh,
brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yeah.